If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, please, to the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We'll turn to the last chapter, Philippians chapter 4. It's page number 1806 if you're using a pew Bible. It says in your notice sheet, we'll read from verse 8, but let's back up four verses to verse 4. We'll break into the chapter at verse 4. We'll read through to verse 13. So this is the word of the living God. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul here, friends, he talks about contentment. Yet his Christian life was pretty much a roller coaster experience. If you read through the epistles, if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we know that there were many ups and downs in his life, many times of blessing, and just as many times of testing. Well, the contentment that he talks about, and also the downers and the testings, the difficult times that we know he experienced, those two things don't seem to mix. You know, the contentment and the downers. However, friends, such experiences are to be expected in the Christian life. And what we find in the Christian life is that God teaches us contentment by exposing us to the blessings as well as to the difficult testings. For example, Paul tells us there in verse 12 that there were periods in his life when he was brought low. He was hungry and he was in need. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. We know that in prison he had need. He needed liberty and warmth and intellectual stimulation, certainly better food and Christian fellowship and hope for the future. In persecution, he needed protection after being beaten and stoned and left for dead sometimes outside cities. His body ached, and it needed nursing and healing. And in his care of the churches that he had planted during his missionary journeys, he needed fellow workers to give him counsel and information about those infant churches. On his missionary journeys, he needed energy and rest. Paul was a man who knew what it was to be in need. But what But Paul proved God's faithfulness in those times of want and distress also. In God, his needs were fully met, and Paul learned contentment. He tells us there in verse 11, I do not speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And he learned to be content in all situations, as he tells us in verse 12. But he also tells us there were times of blessing as well as times of difficulty, times when he knew what it was like to be to have plenty of food, what it was like to have a warm bed at night, no illness. He had peace, he had protection, he had freedom to evangelize. He knew those times of blessing also. He knew churches where there was loving friendship and encouragement, congregations where he ministered, and those congregations were hungry for the truth. The blessing of the Holy Spirit working in regeneration and sanctification within those congregations. And he knew those times of blessing. And then, as I say, the temptation. He knew those times. The temptation to continue in the work to carry forward the Great Commission. And yet the temptation was, well, I want to stay here. I want to stay where it's peaceful and it's comfortable. And the congregation seem to be blessed, and they're growing in grace, and they're hungering more and more for the Word of God. And the temptation is, well, let's just put the missionary endeavors on hold. You know, why should I subject myself to more, you know, opposition and persecution and maybe stonings and floggings? Why would I want to do that when I can have peace and comfort here? And you can see the temptation and the struggles. But Paul was not bought by that. You know, he wasn't bought by, let me live in my comfort zone. Just let me experience, you know, all the blessings. And why wasn't he bought by that? Well, he tells us in verse 13. He says, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My friends, that's a tremendous statement. The promise built into that statement is jaw-dropping. Now, friends, listen. God has gathered us here this day. He's gathered us here in this congregation to tell us, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like he's drawn alongside each one of us and he's saying, you. Yes, you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so you see, beloved, you're meant to leave this service this morning with these words, these edifying words ringing in your ears, cheering you and inspiring you as we leave one year behind and we go into another year, another decade. Whatever lies before us, we are to go out of this building this morning saying, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can cope. Yes, I can get by. Yes, I can be more than a conqueror in my weaknesses and my sadness and my dark days and my frustrations. I can triumph in adversity. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So just let us look at this this morning very briefly, drawing out a few thoughts. Firstly, we can do all God's will for us, all that God would have us do. We can do it. He will give us the grace to do it. When Paul claims, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," obviously he doesn't mean that he can fly. Obviously he doesn't mean that he can go to a graveyard and stand before those tombstones and gravestones and call forth the dead. When he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," he doesn't mean that he can, you know, drive over to Formby or, you know, Ainsdale Beach and sort of start walking across the Irish Sea to Ireland. Of course not. You know, when he says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me," he is not saying I can paint like Rembrandt, or I can sculpt like Michelangelo, or I can compose like Mozart, or write like Shakespeare, or preach like C.H. Spurgeon. That's not what Paul is claiming. It's not what he's teaching us to claim. No, friends, this verse should not be deployed by well-meaning but ill-formed Christians who try to manipulate church members into doing something that they really don't feel that they can or should do. You know, it's not a case of saying, you know, "Mr. Jones, I think you should be preaching. And maybe you should do the odd Sunday. Or I think you should be stepping forward to hold office within the church." And then you say, "But I don't feel that I have the gift of preaching. Or I don't feel I have the gift for that particular office." And then you get the spiritual arm twisting. "But don't you know the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you?" You know, that's a horrible twisting of the Word of God. And remember, friends, Paul couldn't do everything he wanted. You know, he couldn't release himself from prison. He couldn't break the chains off his wrists or ankles as the angel had broken them off Peter when Peter was incarcerated. Paul couldn't remove the thorn from his flesh. 3 times he prays, "Lord, remove this from me." And God said, "No. I will give you the grace to bear it." You know, Paul couldn't stand up and say, "Peace, be still," in the midst of that storm just off the coast of Malta. He couldn't make, if we had started reading this passage from, verse 2, you'd have read of those 2 Christian sisters who had fallen out. And Paul's imploring them, to be friendly. You know, come on, demonstrate Christian love the one for the other. And he couldn't, make them do that all over again. He couldn't strike dumb the mouths of the Galatian heretics who were spreading, all sorts of error within those Galatian churches. He couldn't cure Timothy's stomach ailment, laying hands on him and saying, you're well. "Take a little wine for your stomach's sake," he says. In chapter 2 of this book, when his friend Epaphroditus is sick at death's door, he doesn't call a healing meeting. Pour oil on him and pray that God raise him up again. No, he says, I was fearful. I feared for my friend. He was at death's door. And so you see, Paul couldn't do all things. That's the point I'm trying to make, friends. So this verse, you see, it gives us a good example of how the Bible should be read and how it shouldn't be read. It shouldn't be read merely by taking a single promise, a single statement, or even a testimony of the Apostle Paul and quoting it out of context. We should never do that. You know, let us eat, drink, and be merry, isn't it, in the Bible? You know, so let's apply the Bible. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Quoting it out of context. You keep things within context, and you work it out in context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Keep it in context. What does it mean? Well, Paul here is talking about times of plenty and also times of need. He's talking about being well fed and he's talking about being hungry. In context, he's talking about living in abundance but also living in want. And Paul had learned to be content whatever God willed for his life. Whatever God has for me in this particular moment, he says, I can do it. I don't need to buckle under, he says. I won't be bitter with God for what God brings into my life. I won't be angry with God. Everything that God assigns to him, Paul can respond to in a way that he will honor God. That's what's first and foremost. I will seek to bring honor to God in this situation. Paul is saying, I have learned the secret of facing plenty or hunger. I've learned the secret of facing abundance or want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is saying he was able to live in contentment as a child of the living God, in peace and in fellowship with God, carrying out God's purposes for his life in all circumstances. Wherever God was pleased to place him, in the good times, the bad times, the ups, the downs, he says, I will seek to live to the glory of God in this situation. So whatever the next year brings, whatever the next decade brings of blessings or cursings, let's endeavor each morning when we get up to say, with this new day, I will seek to live to the glory of God. And Lord, if today is to bring hardship, then you give me the grace, the sustaining grace to get through that. Whatever the temptations, whatever the trials, whatever the pressures, whatever the afflictions, the Apostle Paul had learned in all situations that through Christ he could continue to carry out the purposes of Almighty God and live as a child of God in the midst of them all. I mean, we can spread this all things. I can do all things. We can spread that all things a little further to embrace all our lives before the Lord and everything that he requires of us. So yes, we can love God with all our heart. We can love our neighbors as ourselves. We can forgive those who sin against us. We can turn the other cheek. We can bear all things. We can endure all things. We can believe all things. We can hope all things. We can live like that, friends, on a day-by-day basis. We can love our wives as Christ loved the church and give himself for her. We can esteem other Christians better than ourselves. We can shoulder the burden of the weak. We can pray without ceasing, as Paul exhorts us to do in his epistles. We can become mighty in the scriptures. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that can apply to the younger children here as well as aged folk. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can present our body each day as a living sacrifice. And we can give a reason for the hope that lies within us. We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can run the race to the end. And we can finish the course. And we can hear. We can be assured that we will hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Each day, we can put on the armor of God and go forth in the fight. We can die to sin, and we can live daily to Jesus Christ. Everything God asks us to do in the Bible, we can do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And friends, it's absolutely magnificent that we sometimes look at the pressures that we are under. We live in a fallen world. And that fallen world brings its multiplicity of pressures, some more extreme than others. And sometimes we can look at those pressures. We can look at the mountains before us and the burdens we have to bear, and maybe the burden we feel we have to bear for another year. You've already been bearing a burden this year in 2018 and 2017, you've been bearing that burden and you're feeling you're going into 2020 and there seems to be no end to it. And yet we still have to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, when we read these great words, they say to us, you can cope. You can live the way God calls you to live. You can be more than a conqueror. That is what this is saying to us. And these words, you know, they're not aimed at the sort of the minority of super Christians who always seem to get by with a smile. No, that they're aimed at all of God's people, every one of us. Paul is reminding each one of us here that we can do what God wills. That's the first thing. But secondly, friends, the true Christian, the child of God, can do all things through the strength that God gives. You're not doing it on your own. You do it through the Lord's strength. As he says there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a constant theme in this short little epistle. If you just flick back, if you still have it open before you, to chapter 1 and verse 6. You see where he says in his introduction, he's confident. What's he confident of? Being confident of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The God who began the work will complete that work. If you turn over to chapter 2, verse 12, just breaking in at the end of verse 12, where he's talking about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me, but I trust the Lord Jesus, he says, to send Timothy to you to encourage you. And he says in verse 20, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your sake. For all seek their own things which are of Christ. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me with the gospel. And you see, it's God who sends Timothy to minister to them, to encourage them. It is Paul that is saying, you know, God is with you. He will strengthen you. He will complete the work that he's done in you. And our text, as I say, reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, friends, Paul has this consciousness of the mighty God working in his life. He was a man who believed that while he was going about the streets of Rome, traversing mountains and seas as a missionary, while he was in prison facing death, he was acutely aware, constantly aware, that what he did through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was God, the eternal God, the everlasting God, the Almighty God who was empowering him. Paul believed this because he had been made a new creation. You know, that self-righteous Pharisee who was full steam ahead down the Damascus Road to get these troublesome Christians, put them in prison, put them to death. That self-righteous Pharisee who thought that his good works was getting them into heaven and meriting him all sorts of favor with God. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. If anybody was going to heaven, it's the Apostle Paul. And God stops him on the Damascus Road and says, Paul, you're mistaken. You're on the wrong road. Your self-righteousness will never save you. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he repents of his sin. He's baptized. And, Paul was made a new creature. And his whole life is transformed from within. He'd be given new desires, new resources, a new vision for the meaning of life. He'd been made a new man in Christ, and now he says, I can do all things through that Christ dwelling in me, through the indwelling, Holy Spirit that God has given to me, empowering me to be faithful in my missionary service. And when he experienced his own weakness, when that own weakness erupted, feeling the weakness of the flesh, it made him cling to God all the more. Made him cling to Christ all the more. And he goes back again and again and again to God. And so the resources of God were given to him increasingly each day. Paul believed that the Spirit of God, which raised Jesus from the dead, had actually taken up residence in his life. And he realizes there's no greater power in the universe than that. And if I've got this energy living within me, then there, it follows I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What made Paul live for the unseen things of God, so that the things of eternity were more valuable to him than the things of time, than the plaudits of his old Pharisaical friends? But maybe the unseen things more valuable to him than even his own life? Well, friends, it was the Spirit of Jesus indwelling power, enabling him to see that there is a life to come, and keeping them focused on that life to come. So we keep seeking God's face. And we launch by God's grace out into another year. Another year of uncharted territory, which will inevitably bring its challenges. How will we face them? How will we respond to them? Well, friends, we will face them and we will respond to them with God's strength. Remember, God loves us and he will never put us in a situation where our faith will fail us. He rules this vast universe and he controls all the circumstances of our lives. God cares for each one of us and he will not let, you know, he won't quench a smoking flax. We are in Christ, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if God were ill-treating us, it would be like ill-treating his own son. Remember, there are no circumstances that can arise that would be too much for Paul's God. God says he will be with us. No combination of circumstances can destroy our faith. So no set of circumstances could crush the Apostle Paul. No, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He could face everything providence brought across his path, and he could more than cope. He was given strength for his daily needs because of one who dynamically worked within him. So have you grown over the past year, dear brother, dear sister in Christ? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will inevitably look back, won't you? And you will assess your life during the course of the past year. With it being 2020, in a few days' time, we'll probably assess our lives over the past decade. What have we learned in the school of Christ over the past year? What have we learned in the school of Christ over the past 5 years, over the past 10 years? Have we grown in grace? Are we more faithful? You know, what a rebuke the Apostle Paul's words are to our murmurings. Because we murmur at times, don't we? We moan and we groan and we complain. What a rebuke Paul's words are to spiritual laziness and cowardice. What a rebuke it can be to ourselves when we reflect over the past year and say, well, were we as faithful at the prayer meeting as we could have been? There are always the nucleus who are always there. But they're the ones who never seem to be motivated to pray. Are Paul's words here not a rebuke to us as well as an encouragement? Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but as I reflect over the past year, have I grown or have I taken a step back? You know, the Apostle Paul could well easily have complained, you know, Lord, I've served you. I've been zealous. You know, I've been persecuted. I've got the marks on my back to prove, you know, that I've been faithful. Got this thorn in the flesh that you're not taking away. And what reward do I get? You know, I'm thrown in this Roman prison. You know, he could have complained. He could have been saying, you know, at the end of my life, you know, things should be probably a bit more easy, a bit more tranquil, you know, a bit more comfortable. You know, he could have thrown up all sorts of arguments, but he doesn't complain. He says, I'm rejoicing in God. I'm in prison, but I'm rejoicing. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Paul set this example before us. And he says, you know, don't live your life as a mere Christian. No, live your life as a victorious Christian. Because you have the Spirit of God residing in you, empowering you. And you remember that with every new year, yes, is a new beginning. And we can say, yeah, maybe messed up this year. But God's given me a new year. Well, let's go better than that. With each day comes new blessings. And each day we get up, we can say, yeah, messed up today, messed up yesterday.
But it's a new day.
And Lord, let's draw a line under it. Give me the grace to press on towards that finishing line and to be a good, faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look ahead as a believer, as we look ahead as a church, let us resolve to draw nearer to Christ. Let us resolve to draw nearer to God on a daily basis. Give you the exhortation that I've given you every year, I guess, over the past 20 years. Read your Bible during the course of the year. Make that a goal. To go through the Word of God in the course of the year. Come prepared each week for church. Prepare your hearts before you leave home. And then when you get here, be prepared for worship. Let us be diligent in prayer. Our nation needs prayer. There's the concert of prayer next Saturday. Begin the year with prayer. If you've never been to a concert of prayer, let's endeavor to go. Let's plan to go and seek God's face to revive the church, to revive our nation. Let us be thankful. Continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Let's be determined to be joyful, as Paul says. Let us be happy Christians and not miserable Christians. We have a lot to be thankful for and joyful about. Let us pray for one another. Let us strive to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the incoming year. Praying that God would build us up in our faith. Praying that God would add to the Church of Jesus Christ, saving souls in this area. May all sound simplistic. My friends, if implemented, surely by God's grace, it will go a long way. We believe Jesus Christ lives in each one of his children. We believe that God's Spirit inhabits the body of every Christian. We believe that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We believe that every Christian has the resources to put all of this into practice. By God's grace, let us endeavor to do that in 2020. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.